Welcome to the Fuller Chasey Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 11th of April. And I'm recording at 9:46 p.m. and that is British Summer Time here in London. Now, starting with the Asia-Pacific markets. Well, China had a good day and so did India. The rest of them, nothing to show for it here. Mostly declines, modest declines though, it must be said. And looking at the European indices, well, they were okay for the most part. I mean, Switzerland was soft, and the UK market closed down a fraction. But most of these other European indices were to the higher side, and they were helped by a firm Wall Street for much of the day, but Wall Street turned around and closed right on the lows of the day. I think the Dow was up over 100 at one stage, and it closed down 20. And okay, the declines are not big. That's just a little over a tenth of a percent. S&P a little over a quarter of a percent, and the NASDAQ composite a little over a third of a percent to the downside. But they had been up with respectable gains earlier on and for most of the day. Now, what's worrying them? And the answer in one word is earnings. This is likely to be a soft corporate earnings sector. It remains to be seen how much of this has already been discounted. But, you know, with this short-term overbought condition and following the strong rally from the mid-February lows, we're up here in resistance, and I think this is a challenging environment for stock markets. So I'm a little wary here overall. Now, looking elsewhere, government bonds, the yield edged up a tiny bit. We're at 1.71%. That VIX crept a bit higher here, 16.26. It's smelling a little bit of trouble here, clearly. Or I should at least say nervousness. Now, the dollar index, that's the good news. It's the really good news, which we've had for a number of weeks now. That the dollar is soft. And why is that such good news? Well, had the dollar index right now is just below 94, just below the 94 level. And it wasn't all that long ago that it was up testing once again the 100 level, or just below the 100 level, that psychological resistance. Now, had the dollar index broken up through that 100 level, and a lot of people were betting that it would, had it broken up above that level and then run to the upside, I think that would have guaranteed that the U.S. would slide into recession. It may still slip into recession a little later on this year or next year. Hopefully not, but it is still a risk. Not least as these corporate profits are going to be weak. Mind you, these are the first quarter corporate profits. It's the second quarter that is going to be really, really interesting. And we'll have to wait and see how things are developing here. But needless to say, bond markets are... Well, bond investors, I'll put it that way, in treasuries, they feel secure. And looking at the total return index, you can look at that Merrill Lynch. Just type in Merrill Lynch in the live chart library, and you'll see that it's just continuing to edge higher here overall. It's been an amazing move. And getting back to these markets here right now, the dollar index soft. So what happened with other currencies? Most of the other currencies were a little firmer. I mean, the euro is at tad bit higher, 1.1409. The ECB will not want the euro going any higher here, and I assume is intervening or is prepared to intervene at this level. The Australian dollar, a little firmer here, 0.7595. Sterling, a little firmer, 1.4235. And looking around, the Chinese renminbi and the Indian rupee, they were a little firmer as well. And the more interesting, well, I say that because I'm interested in it, but the bigger moves, now that's accurate, the bigger moves occurred in precious metals here today. Palladium, firm, 547 and change, that's up almost $9. Silver, still trading after hours here, but a bit of an eyebrow raising, 55 cents to the upside, taking it up to 15.935. So that's a good move, and it's not overbought on the short-term indicators, although it is pushing up to the higher side of its recent trading range. And you know, I look at that and I think, well, you know, should I pull it out, pull my positions out, because they've come thumping down from this level previously, or should I hope that it's done optimistically, that it's done most of the heavy work and is in a position to go a little bit higher? Well, I'm still in there, so I might hold on to that. Looking at platinum, platinum's up $23 to $9.91 and change. Silver, incidentally, outperformed gold, as did platinum in here today. And remember, high beta silver, if it's going to do anything significant, it should be putting in to the upside. It should be showing persistent leadership to the upside relative to gold. And gold had a very respectable performance. Excuse me, up almost $18.50 here to 1257, almost $1,258. Point I commented on Friday is that you take that $1,258 on gold and $991 on platinum. Well, for decades, I got used to seeing platinum trade, for the most part, not always, but for the most part, at a premium of $100 or more to gold bullion. But it's not, so obviously is not in here right now, and that's quite a significant discount here of over $250. It's one of the reasons why I'm holding it. I'm wondering if that won't revert back to its historic relationship. We will see. Now elsewhere, crude, a good day in here. Here's the Brent is up 82 cents to 42.76. So really what we've seen over the last month, it looks like just a normal consolidation, giving up maybe a third at most of the gains that we saw, and now starting to push back up again. And the WTI gave up a little more than a third, gave up at one stage almost half of its gains, but it's back up at 40.33. That's up 61 cents today here overall. And well, I've already said it, these look like consolidations. But now we've got this meeting, we've got this OPEC meeting, is it in Doha? I think it is, on the 17th, I believe. Now, a lot of people have been saying, well, you're not really going to get any agreement out of this. It's not hard to understand why that would actually be true. But what we all know is that these prices are costing all producers money. Now, again, I'm not talking about just the cost of production, because at $40, crude oil is certainly above Saudi Arabia's cost of production, although not Iraq's so much. But the point is that these countries have been expecting, counting on much, much higher oil prices, and so they're bleeding and running through their reserves, because they've started to cut costs, but they haven't cut them anywhere near enough. So, you know, they may all hate each other, and that's probably not too much of an exaggeration. And there are all sorts of risks associated with getting a successful agreement together here once again. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a needs-must situation. Now, maybe they will inch towards some sort of agreement, or be dragged towards it. And meanwhile, if that gets delayed, and obviously if they walk away empty-handed on the 17th, I think markets, or the oil market, will come down a bit, obviously. But the situation is that with oil at these prices, some producers are having to throw in the towel. But not as fast as one might think, because some producers, they may actually be losing money on oil at this price, but they need the revenue. They need some revenue because they have debt, and they can't service the debt if they don't have any income coming in. So even though they may well be holding oil at a loss, they will still be producing some oil. But the bottom line is that consumption of crude oil is creeping up a little bit. That's good news overall. The much more important news is that supply is gradually shrinking in here. And supply with commodities, you've heard me say it so many times, it really is the big variable here overall. White sugar down quite sharply in here today, I note, among other commodities generally, and grains and beans not so good. They're lower in here as well. Industrial metals more down than up in here again today. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.